that not only is this man given sight physically, but he's invited into the insights of faith. Here are the four scenes. First, Jesus is walking along with his disciples and comes across a man born blind. And he puts the clay in his eyes and sends him to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. Now, isn't it curious that John puts that little phrase about the pool's meaning, Siloam meaning sent? What's that all about? Why does John put that in there for the meaning of Siloam? Is he giving us a clue to what is really happening in this act, as well as the other two acts? Let us consider the other scenes. The second scene, the man's neighbors confront the man who was once blind and try to make sense of his cure. Third scene, the man is brought before the Pharisees who are plotting, remember, against Jesus. And they try to make a sense on their own terms, saying, "You were born blind because of your sin." That was a common practice and belief in the ancient world. Jesus goes beyond that. And so they, confused, angry, frustrated, they throw the man out of the community. The fourth scene, Jesus comes upon the man and invites him not only to see, but to believe. And he sees in Jesus the Son of Man. He sees and believes. If you will, this particular act gives us a way of believing that the blind man represents to us a symbol. He represents for us ways in which we do not see, and how in some ways the spiritual blindness that we're all called to address in the Lenten drama journey gives us ways together in the journey and the sacrifices of having insights. Notice the healing happens quickly. Jesus gives the man physical gift of seeing, but it's a gradual process of seeing spiritually. Isn't that also true for us in our Lenten journey? Physical sight to spiritual sight. He will see who Jesus is and give us an example of how we too see Jesus in the world. And so how appropriate then that this gospel occurs on a unique day in our Catholic history. You see, 50 years ago today, on March 26, 1967, Pope Paul VI brought a new way of seeing, of connecting, of having insight into the issues of the development of peoples. He had issued on that very day Populorum Progressio, the development of peoples. And this is among his statements, radical statements that continue to reverberate into our own day of new ways of seeing how God is acting in the world. Pope Paul VI said, "Development of the individual necessarily entails a joint effort for the development of the human race as a whole. This duty concerns first and foremost the wealthier nations. Their obligations stem from the human and supernatural and present a threefold obligation. One, mutual solidarity, the aid that the richer nations must give to developing nations. Two, social justice, the rectification of trade relations between strong and weak nations. Three, universal charity, the effort to build a more humane world community where all can give and receive, and where the progress of some is not bought at the expense of others. The matter is urgent, for on it depends the future of world civilization." 50 years ago, a new way of seeing and believing what it means to be a Christian. Pope Paul's 6 words open not only an encyclical, but a new chapter, a new act, if you will, in the Church's history, namely connecting the development of our faith with the development of all peoples on the globe. And in so doing, he connected the themes of faith with those of justice and peace. And he built upon the encyclicals of his predecessors, especially Pope Leo XIII, who in the 19th century made a major encyclical on justice and labor, and Pope John XXIII on mater and magistra, and other ways of looking at peace in the world. This leader of the Second Vatican Council, if you will, translate some of the council's themes into a new way of seeing, a new way of believing. This past week, at the University of Notre Dame, there was a conference dealing with Populorum Progressio on the 50th anniversary. There were more than 60 presentations. They included the integral human development from paternalism to accompaniment. Remember, the word accompaniment is in our mission statement, so it has relevance to who we are as a parish. Another one, prophetic obedience online, authentic human development for the digital age, translating Progressio, Populorum Progressio into the 21st century. Another one, Catholic social tradition and brain research, intersections of faith and science. You see how this encyclical from 50 years ago still has relevance. It reverberates into our day. And not just at this presentation, because Pope Paul VI's successors, namely Pope John Paul II, Pope Benedict, and recently Pope Francis, have built on that major encyclical and have further developed a new nuance, words first promulgated. If you will, these popes have added their insights to the sight and vision of the Church first pronounced in a new way 50 years ago today. This encyclical certainly inspired some of the church movements of the 1960s, and that encyclical was behind the Jesuits' decree in 1974, where the Jesuits promulgated who we are as Jesuits and our colleagues should be about the service of faith, the promotion of justice. The lay and religious leaders of this parish at that time moved that forward to develop social justice programs from the past years into today. My brothers and sisters, today, this afternoon, more than 100 of our parishioners who have supported the Chalkoff family will meet the 6 children and 2 adults here in our parish for the first time. This is an example of the sight and the faith first promulgated by Pope Paul VI. And that will give us that sense that welcoming them will help us see and to believe in the one who was sent into the world for all peoples. The next chapter of our Lenten drama happens next week. Stay tuned, and I'll see you next Sunday. Brothers and sisters in Christ, then, let us pray the ancient words that unite us as Christians. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,